I want to note that Reverend Alex was scheduled to be in the pulpit this week, as she usually is on the second Sunday of each month. And unfortunately, she is feeling too sick to come in today. So she asked if I would facilitate worship with Laura in her stead. Given Alex's propensity for advanced preparation, she had already written her sermon and asked if I would offer her sermon in her stead. I've modified it slightly because her rhythm and mine are different. So I wanted to make it sound a little more natural coming from my voice. So I suppose you can think of this as a collaborative sermon. This is a time of year when much focus is on waiting. There are long, dark nights waiting for the sun to rise. There might be, for some, an excitement about the holidays and eager anticipation or impatience for goodies. There might be, for others, a dread of the holidays, long stretches of fear and ache. Waiting. 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 In this lifetime, waiting is something we humans have to learn to deal with. Children wait for a tooth to fall out and perhaps then wait for the tooth fairy. In this modern age, we've all learned about waiting for a computer to reboot or a phone to charge. We wait to hear the results of a medical test or the grade we earned on that paper we had spent so much time on. Yet not all waiting is the same. Waiting can get right to the very core of our being, and it can reflect our cores as well. Consider a child on a playground looking for their parent who has gotten out of sight. This is an impatient waiting, to be sure, and I can't wait kind of waiting, yet it's a waiting just the same. A child is seeking, is waiting for security. Consider a teenager waiting to see if the friend they invited to the dance will say yes. That person is waiting for a sense of connection and belonging. Consider the trial this week. The jurors waiting for their interviews, the witnesses waiting to testify, the people waiting for justice. Waiting. Waiting. Consider a person agonizing after a personal tragedy, asking, why did this happen to me? Waiting for some sense of sense. This person is seeking spiritual understanding. Here are words from a minister named Sam Wells, who suggests that all waiting is a kind of hunger. All hunger is a kind of waiting. You can fill up your life with good and worthwhile things, genuine and valuable tasks, absorbing and deserving projects, admirable and interesting people. But suddenly you get moments when you see with piercing clarity that it's all a distraction, all a way of making you so busy that you don't see the need to think about the one thing you desire above all else. And you long for with all your being and need like a hungry hole in your stomach. So here is the problem, friends. Hunger can make us do crazy things. It can make us choose the wrong thing. It can make us get stressed or hurry or look elsewhere. It can make us think that nothing will make a difference, that no effort will help. In the classic novel Stranger in a Strange Land, a child who was born on board a spaceship on a mission to Mars and is the only survivor of that mission. He's found when a second mission arrives 25 years later. That child, Valentine Michael Smith, was raised by Martians and so has been entirely shaped by Martian culture. And Martian culture, according to this novel, greatly values waiting. In fact, a deep and profound part of their way of life is reflected in their saying, waiting is. Waiting is. One of the things Smith has an incredibly hard time understanding after returning to Earth is how little waiting we do. Eventually, he adopts our fast-paced lifestyle, yet even then, he says that he is just waiting quickly. It is hard for those of us who've been raised in the dominant culture of the United States to wait. That sense of hunger, that sense of urgency, that sense of needing to get on to the next moment is part of who we are, just as waiting is a part of who Smith is. And in this holiday season that we're entering, or perhaps are already immersed in, the pressure to do is huge, and waiting is hard, whether in anticipation or dread. And so what are we to do? Where could we find some hope and solace and wisdom? I have three suggestions. Actually, Alex had three suggestions, and I completely agree with them. The first is from a humanist perspective, we might say. A humanist believes that we human beings have an intelligence and capacity for good, which allows us to figure out solutions and act on them. Of course, unfortunately, we don't always do that. But in this case, in waiting, when waiting is hard and that hunger, that urge to do, can threaten to lead us down the wrong path, we can use logic to figure out which things we can change and which things just have to be waited out. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Second, a Buddhist perspective offers us the tool of mindfulness. Mindfulness has a marvelous, magical way of expanding each moment so that waiting seems interminably sudden. Isn't that a great phrase? Waiting interminably sudden is how it feels to us. But with mindfulness, it becomes many small, interesting moments. Here's a quote from business leader Kevin Davis in the newsletter Leader's Edge. You cannot do anything if you're not focused and you're not present. Nothing happens when our minds are wandering. And the perfect example is when we go shopping. When you go shopping for food, you're mindful about what you're buying. You come back with exactly what you want. But if you're not mindful, you come back with a whole bag full of stuff you didn't want. And I'd add, quite often without the thing you went to the store to get. Being mindful when looking for a parking space, being mindful online in the checkout, being mindful while waiting for that check you need to clear so that you can wait on that line. All of this can allow us to know waiting is, and to be okay with that. Third, a way to handle waiting that some people use comes from a theist point of view. In a theist perspective, a person believes there is a God, a deity, which offers a wisdom greater than our limited perspective. Perhaps they also believe this God offers love and is the source of all creation. Our universalist ancestors often summed up their theology in the three-word assertion, God is love. Period. From the perspective of a theist, waiting makes perfect sense. Waiting makes sense because we can trust that things are working out in a way which will be towards the good. We can trust that, to answer Einstein's famous question, the universe is ultimately friendly. My friends, I've told you three ways that a person might find relief from the difficulty of waiting. Tools that we can use in the days and weeks ahead. Tools that we can put into place today. And if we remember, can use in the months and years unfolding. Take steps that are within your control and don't waste energy on what you can't control. Strive to be mindful. Strive to be present in your waiting rather than trying to live in the future, jumping ahead to what you're waiting for. Third, trust in a bigger plan that, as the poem Desiderata puts it, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. There is still one more thing you can do. Look outside yourself. Look at the folks around you. Look at neighbors, friends, strangers. What are they waiting for? Is their waiting bringing them joy or agony? Ask yourself what you can do to help them celebrate or to soothe them in their sorrow. This is said to be the season of gifts. Perhaps a gift you can give is encouragement to another person during their time of waiting. The word encourage can literally be broken down to mean to help another person have courage. Help them to know that there is something greater and deeper than just the waiting. And for yourself, be light. Be as light as you can be. In the Christian tradition of Advent, the season we're in right now, it's a time of waiting, of anticipation for the birth of Jesus, the hoped-for Christ. Well, that metaphor, waiting for something wonderful to be born, can be held by any of us, regardless of our theism or atheism. Remember that at the end of this time of waiting, something new will be born. It depends, though, that birth, on the gestation time of waiting, because waiting is, and it always will be. So may we embrace that truth, embrace one another, and embrace ourselves in this time. Amen. Let us now take a moment of silence.